Talk. Extracts from remarks at Mountain View, California. Mountain View, California, January 20th, 1905. I have been in continual perplexity by the letters of inquiry that have received in regard to certain points and testimonies that are reported. And they want me to explain this, and explain that, and explain the other. Now, I want to do this. But it has taken time. For weeks I have not been able to sleep after 1 o'clock. I am awakened early by the strong representations that are made in regard to the state of things in our work. I steady myself and try to write them. It would open and open and open. Until recently a presentation was made to me. Take the writings that have been given you for the space of so many years. There you will find that these questions are all answered. Take these writings and put them in book form. Only last night I felt as though my life was put out. It seemed as though I could not enter into any kind of labor. But after that was presented to me, I said, I will do just as the Lord has said. I have piles and piles and piles of matter in manuscript form, and I did not look at that at all. I try to meet the wants of the present time. The light that is given to me at the present time is that the light that is given in the past will meet the issues of the present and the future. Repeat it over and over and over again. The people need it. I was able to sleep until nearly 3 last night, and then this morning I got up and commenced to search. I had just one book with me. And I found many things that I consider just as applicable now as then. Some personal matters I shall not produce here, but here are some things to the managers and foremen of the Review and Herald Publishing House, the Pacific Press, the London House, the Echo Publishing House, the Christiana Publishing House, and the Hamburg Publishing House. It was in 1899 that this was taken off upon the typewriter. Now here I speak of the state of things. I am alarmed by the spirit of rivalry that is coming into our ranks and our publishing houses. It is most manifest in our older printing houses, but the same spirit is working elsewhere. It is displeasing to God. Not that I am accusing our office here. No, I am not accusing them. But I present the principles which must guard the interests of every soul connected with our offices and with our institutions in any line. If it is allowed to exist, it will grow and strengthen. And as it grows and strengthens, it will crush out the missionary spirit. Bear that in mind. One institution is not to get itself into a fever lest some other institution shall have better advantages than they have. It will grieve the Spirit of God and lead to such a course of action as will drive away from the institution and its workers. That is why matters are presented that should not exist. Our institutions are very sacred in the eyes of God. And unless he has free access to every room and to every heart, then there is a hindrance. There is something that needs to be corrected. Every one have our varied phases of character, and we want to be in that position that we shall be under the control of God. Then we shall have none of this spirit arising. As I see our various institutions are coming into existence, sanitariums and such things. It reaches to every institution, and every one of us should be in a position always to help, never to hinder, never to let anything come in that shall spoil our own likeness to Christ. We cannot afford it. It is an expensive business. Let us consider all these things. I am going to get this out in print. And I thought I would like to speak it out right here, that we may begin the work of searching our individual hearts to see what is there that will in any way mar the spirit of unity for which Christ prayed in the 17th chapter of John. He prayed that lack of unity should not exist. Love expressed would be to the world as credentials, if it was cherished, if it was practiced, that God had sent his Son. Here are a large number that have come into the truth, that believe the seventh day is the Sabbath. But from the light that God has given me, there is not 100th part done, which, if they walked individually in the counsel of God, will be done in the future. There will be men taken right from the plow, just as Christ took the fishermen and united them with him. What did he say to them? Did he say, "Go to the Jews, and go to this one and that one, and learn, then come and follow me"? No, he said, "Leave your nets and your boats, and come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Every one of us shall bow in humility to Christ as our head. He is the power that is to be with us. We look to men, and we are watching men, but we want to be beholding Christ, that by beholding him, we shall be changed into his image. Then, when we are changed into his image, we shall work the works of Christ. We shall do just as he did. We shall go out. Our ministers will not be hovering around the cities. If God has called them to bear responsibilities in the work, it is to put themselves to task, to qualify themselves, which they can do if they will, to fit them for any emergency that may arise. Let the heart be emptied of all selfishness, brethren. We have a lot of it. We have tugged it along as though it were a precious treasure that we could not let go unless we placed ourselves in an exalted position. Then we took a course that they could not receive us. Hereditary and cultivated tendencies cling, and if you let them in, they will get the better of you. These things I am to speak to you. This is preparation day. We want this day to be diligently searching our own hearts and see what we must do to get in a right position. It has always been presented to me that our publishing houses, our sanitariums, our schools should be more after the order of the schools of the prophets. We are to be watching every development of our own character so that it shall not militate against the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We should have just as large an interest for the youth, no matter what their hereditary tendencies are. When they are the most objectionable, they need your help the most. And when I travel, oh, what pity I have for families that cannot manage their children. "Send them to me," said I. One mother said she could not do anything. Said I, "Send them to me, a brother and sister." I took them, and I know that the Spirit of God helped me in changing their disposition. In our institutions, I have heard surly, repulsive answers to questions asked when such persons should be treated as students in a school and patiently taught, line upon line, in order to do the most perfect service. Educating for what? That their hearts may become temples for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And if you can say very straight things, you may call things by their right name if you manifest the tenderness of Christ. It is no use to put the vim into your voice. Just as soon as you do, there is an opposing influence in that heart that has not been subdued by the Spirit of Christ, which you must know will be developed. You must work with these souls. They may act inconsistently and imprudently, but you are to bring them by your example to a position that is right. These things have been upon my mind for some time. The Apostle Paul declares, "Just look at this declaration, how many times I have thought of it. Ye are our epistle." How can this be more suitable than in the office of publication? There should be a positive and different influence with many in our institutions. Ye are our epistle, known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. We understand the character of the heart by the temper of the words. Christ is our efficiency. The lives of his followers are to be an exposition of the sacred truths of his word. Men on the earth are to see that we are not of the same character as they, and we shall shine as lights amid the moral darkness of this earth. Just think of it. Just consider it. Buried with Christ in baptism, and the three great powers of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, take us up. And when, in emergency, you feel that you know not how to go, you just plead with Christ. You told us, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Now give me power to stand on vantage ground, and you will have it. The gospel lived in every department of our work is an influence that will save souls from perdition. I know it will. Whatever or whoever they may be, if we will come to them feeling that we have hold of the Lord and His Spirit, it will work upon their hearts. Not everyone, because I know that there are some that, although they are impressed, will not yield. They are thinking, when perhaps they do not know it, all the light of truth has not shone. It may be men living in the world, but living up to the very best light they have. Therefore, God wants us to come in connection with them, that they may have the next page of light opened to them, the great light of present truth. Oh, the Lord is willing that we reach a much higher standard. You have greater light, greater advantages. There is more than one Cornelius. There is more than one whom angels visit. They are connected with the world. They have never had the Sabbath truth brought to them. Therefore, we want every soul that can to be a representative of Jesus Christ. There are many you will find already if you go to them and introduce the truth. They will just walk right in it. There are youth and children that need educating. This work should not be done in an impatient, fault-finding manner. Now I knew that you were from all parts, and I wanted these things to sink into your hearts and minds. Everyone who is subordinate to the will of God is under Christ as a learner. From the Word of God, those at the head of our institution are to learn day by day how to speak as Christ would speak. The apprentices come and place themselves in a position where they can get advantages, and their parents entrust them there and expect that men who have years of experience in the printing office will lead them to Christ. They are God's property. Jesus sat down to eat with the publicans and sinners. Do you suppose he went there to give them no lesson? Every word that he spoke on such occasions was a lesson. And every word that you speak in the company of unconverted men is to be such as will recommend Christ. I want that every one of us should take these admonitions for close inquiry with ourselves as to whether we are going to receive, at this meeting, divine grace and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, which He has said He is more willing to give to them that ask Him than parents are to give good gifts unto their children. Now, there is the promise spread right open before you. You come to the Lord, sacrificing your own ideas and your own feelings, and grasp the principles, and then carry out the principles, and the power of God will just as surely be with you. We have one of the greatest works to do, and we are to fashion ourselves to do it. We are not to buy and sell and get gain as though that were our business. Follow me, says Christ, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 19. All around here is a community to be warned. You can see souls that are around here, and you can speak to them. You can let your light flash forth. You can be kind and tender and pitiful. God calls upon you to have the sweetness of the Spirit of Christ, that you may win others to the truth. I wanted to say this much to you this morning, and God help you to work to the point. I think there is a splendid time now, this day, if there is anything between brother and brother, anything that you think should be taken out of the way, or that you have suffered to remain, take it out of the way. It is preparation day, and more than that, it is the great day of atonement when we are to confess our sins. We are not here to make sins, but we are here to confess our sins. There is an examination going on, and God help us that we may meet the standard. I want to say one word more. When you get the Holy Spirit into the heart, you know what it did on the day of Pentecost. No man had to say that anything was his own. Everything was the Lord's. They were brethren. We want just such a spirit, and you need not be afraid that you will lose all that you have if you should get in such a spirit, because God will work for us 100-fold. There were 3,000 converted that day when the Holy Ghost had rested upon them. There were thousands converted in a day. That is the religion we want. Clear the King's highway. Lift up the standard. For Christ's sake, lift it up. It has been trampled long enough. Lift up the standard, brethren and sisters, and the grace of God will come right in, and you will find that the measures that will take an hour or 2 hours to bring around can be accomplished in 5 minutes. He can do more for you in 5 minutes than you can do in hours. God wants you to break. Fall upon the rock and be broken.